Good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is SCARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 in Good Amateur Practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Whiskey 8, Mike Whiskey, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they've checked in. Information regarding our operation may be found at www.scarsvoip.com. You have many net calls this evening. I'm merely opening it up. My name is Kathleen. My call is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and my location is Port St. Lucie, Florida, where we have a temperature currently of about 76. It was about 80 today. Very beautiful day. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. If so, I ask you to come aboard. All right, hearing no emergency traffic, one other question. Do we have anyone celebrating their birthday this week or maybe a special occasion that they'd like to celebrate? If so, please come aboard. All right, like I always say, that means we're not getting any older. This is the monthly Thursday Informational Net Open Forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. And I do want to advise all stations connected that this net is recorded for future presentation on our website as a podcast, so all stations participating will be part of that recording. So our program this evening is Cell Phone Technology. Hopefully you'll enjoy. Thanks for allowing me to open it up this evening. At this point, I'm going to throw it over to KY6D so he can continue. Have fun, everyone.
Thank you, Kathy. And good evening, everybody. This is Gordon, KY6V. And as mentioned, Kathy said the subject tonight will be the overview of cell phone technology. And I found that it was interesting to note that the cell phone was first introduced to us in April of 1973. And its gross market value as of the year 2022 was at that time estimated to be at $485 billion. So there we go. So without further ado, let's get the program started with our first narrator, who will be Dave, GW8SZL in the UK. Dave, are you ready, sir, from KY6V? Over.
KY6V from Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. I most certainly am there, Captain. And good evening. Dave here, GW8SZL in the UK. Now let's start with the basics. In essence, a cell phone is a radio. One of the most interesting things about a cell phone is that it is actually a radio, but an extremely sophisticated radio. But a radio, nonetheless. The telephone was invented by Alexander Graham Bell in 1876. And wireless communication can trace its roots to the invention of radio by Nikola Tesla in the 1880s. Formally presented in 1894 by an Italian named My Italian's not that good. Guglielmo Marconi. It was only natural that these two great technologies would eventually be combined. In the ages before cell phones, people who really needed mobile communications ability installed radio telephones in their cars. In the radio telephone system, there was one central antenna tower per city. and perhaps 25 channels available on that particular tower. This central antenna meant that the phone in your car needed a powerful transmitter, big enough to transmit 40 or 50 miles, that's about 70 kilometers. It also meant that not many people could use radio telephones. There were just not enough channels, he said. Now, the genius of the cellular system is the division of a city into small cells. This allows extensive frequency reuse across a city, so that millions of people can use cell phones simultaneously. In a typical analog cell phone system in the United States, the cell phone carrier receives about 800 frequencies to use across the city. The carrier chops up the city into cells. Each cell is typically sized at about 10 square miles. That's 26 square kilometers. Cells are normally thought of as hexagons on a big hexagonal grid. Because cell phones and base stations use low-power transmitters, the same frequencies can be reused in non-adjacent cells. The cells can reuse the same frequencies. Each cell has a base station that consists of a tower and a small building containing the radio equipment. More on the base stations later. A single cell in an analog system uses 1/7 of the available duplex voice channels. That is, each cell of the 7 on a hexagonal grid uses 1/7 of the available channels, so it has a unique set of frequencies and there are no collisions. A cell phone carrier typically gets 832 radio frequencies to use in a city. Each cell phone uses 2 frequencies per call, a duplex channel. There are typically 395 voice channels per carrier. Now, the other 42 frequencies are used for the control channels. More on that later. Therefore, each cell has about 56 voice channels available. Let me reset. In other words, in any cell, 56 people can be talking on their cell phones at one time. With digital transmission methods, the number of available channels increases. For example, a TDMA-based digital system can carry 3 times as many calls as an analog system, so each cell has about 168 channels available. Cell phones have low power transmitters in them. Many cell phones have 2 signal strengths, 0.6 watts and 3 watts. Now, for comparison, most CB radios transmit at 4 watts. The base station is also transmitting at low power. Now, low-power transmitters have 2 advantages. The transmissions of a base station and the phone within its cell do not make it very far outside that cell. Therefore, both of the cells can reuse the same 56 frequencies. The same frequencies can be reused extensively across the city. Now, the power consumption of the cell phone, which is normally battery-operated, is relatively low. Low power means small batteries, and this is what made handheld cellular phones possible. Cellular approach requires a large number of base stations in a city of any size. A typical large city can have hundreds of towers. But because so many people are using cell phones, cost remains low per user. Each carrier in each city also runs one central office called the Mobile Telephone Switching Office, the Mike Tango Sierra Oscar MTSO. This office handles all the phone connections to the normal land-based phone system and controls all of the base stations in the region. Okay, is there anybody you'd like to check in? Got any questions or comments at this point in time? This is W8SFL with the Surfcars. Thursday, TIN.
Kilo Yankee 4, November Bravo, KY4NB, Scott from Memphis, Tennessee. Just listening tonight, Dave, and checking in. Thanks for doing the net, helping.
KY4NB from GW8SFL. Yep, good evening, Scott. It's morning here now into early hours of Friday morning. And thanks for letting us know that they're out there listening there as well there, Scott. Okay, I've got Scott, KY4NB. Any other questions, comments, or anybody who'd like to check in? If you would like to do so, please call now.
Kilo 2, Hotel Alpha.
Victor Kilo 2, Delta Yankee.
Okay, in addition to Scott, we've got Mr. Fred there, the happy amateur, at C2HA, and Robert down there in Kellyville Ridge in Sydney at BK2DY. Is there anybody else? Okay, hearing nobody else, we're going to go down to Fred at K2HA. This is WSL. Go ahead there, Fred.
Good evening, Dave. Thank you for the information so far. Just a question. Do other countries have the same setup that you're describing? And I was just wondering if it was different around the world. Okay, thanks, Dave. GW8SZL, K2HA.
K2HA from GW8SZL. No, basically the same there, Fred, not much difference. But some countries actually use different frequencies. So, for example, if I had an older mobile phone here, I come across to the US, it wouldn't have a certain band, so I wouldn't be able to use that phone on the US cellular service. So that's one thing to watch. But the more modern phones, they'll work fine between, if I come to the US. But with other countries, it might be different. But that's basically the same technology and the same setup there, Fred. Back to you. K2HA-GW8SZL.
Okay, thank you, Dave. Well, that makes sense that they would be standardized if possible. And so I give my greetings to Sue and Declan. This right, K2HA.
Yeah, okay there, Fred from GW8SZL. Yeah, no, many years ago, I had to get an actual another phone that actually covered one of the US cellular bands, because the phone that I actually had wouldn't work over there. It would work in France and other countries. But as we go to the U.S. to work, Pensacola and Florida, I have to get another phone. I didn't pay for it. The company paid for it. That's how I know, because I've actually had personal experience of it. Okay there, Fred. Thanks for checking and asking your question there. Much appreciated. So I'll clear with Fred, the happy amateur. That's K2HA. Now we're going down to the bottom end of the planet to Robert, VK2EY from GW8SZL. Go ahead there, Robert.
Yes, good morning, Dave. This is Robert, VK2DY in, Kellyville Ridge, New South Wales, but all part of the urban sprawl that is Sydney. Might as well get that on the recording. Anyway, it's about 22 degrees, headed for 30 degrees. So I've carried phones between Australia and the United States, and as long as you were careful in the past to be sure that the frequencies and matched, you were okay. But yeah, you could very easily get a phone that didn't work when you crossed country lines. But anyway, my question was, most of the service here in Sydney now is 5G. Is there any, all of the services, whether they're 5G, 4G, 3G, whatever, 2G I think was even before that, they basically all function the same, they just use slightly different technology, or am I getting ahead of the presentation? VK2DY, back to net.
Yeah, VK2DY from GW8SL. Yeah, we still got 2G in parts of the UK. We've got 2G, 3G, 4G, and 5G. 5G is normally in the higher, so we say, population areas, the major cities. But it is getting, it is spreading. Most of the UK is covered by 4G. And, of course, then it drops back to 3G. 2G is being phased out. But, the technology is pretty similar, but I'll let the presentation run on for that one there, Robert. VK2DY, GW8SL.
GW8SL, VK2DY. Yeah, they phased out 2G a long time ago. I think 3G has also been phased out. So I think all we've got left is 4G and 5G here. They're quick to phase things out. VK2DY.
Yeah, no problem there, Robert. Yeah, there's still some 2G around. If driving around, I see my phone sometimes switch to it. And of course, you got the greater speed of data on the 5G, so it's all to do with how all the technology is done and bits and pieces like that. Okay. Just before I pass it along, I just wonder if there's anybody else who would like to check in, comment questions, or just like to check in. This is W8SZO. Okay, hearing nobody else. Okay, now let's analyze what happens as you and your cell phone move from cell to cell. But to do that, I'm going to pass it on to the chief at W4RFJ to continue on with the program. W4RFJ from GW8SZO. Go ahead there, chief.
Okay, Dave, thanks for that introduction. And hello, greetings to everybody. This is W4RFJ. Before I continue, let me get an audio check real quick, Dave. How do I sound? Over.
From GW8SZO, you're sounding fine there, Chief. Perfect. Go right ahead, sir.
Okay. Thank you, sir. All cell phones have special codes associated with them. These codes are used to identify the phone, the phone's owner, and the service provider. Let's say you have a cell phone, you turn it on, and someone tries to call you. Here is what happens to the call. When you first power up the phone, it listens for an SID. The control channel is a special frequency that the phone and base station use to talk to one another about things like cell setup and channel changing. If the phone cannot find any control channels to listen to, or whether or not it knows it is out of range and displays a no service message. Next, when it receives the SID, the phone compares it to the SID programmed into the phone. If the SIDs match, the phone knows that the cell it is communicating with is part of the home system. Along with the SID, the phone also transmits a registration request, and the MTSO keeps track of your phone's location in a database. This way, the MTSO knows which cell you're in and when it wants to ring your phone. The MTSO gets the cell and it tries to find you. It looks in its database to see which cell you are in. After that, the MTSO picks a frequency pair that your phone will use in that cell to take the call. The MTSO communicates with your phone over the control channel to tell it which frequencies to use, and once your phone and the tower switch on those frequencies, the call is connected. You're talking by two-way radio to a friend. As you move toward the edge of your cell, the cell's base station notes that your signal strength is diminishing. Meanwhile, the base station in the cell you are moving toward, which is listening and measuring signal strength on all frequencies, not just its own 1/7, sees your phone's signal strength increasing. The two base stations coordinate with each other through the MTSO, and at some point your phone gets a signal on a control channel telling it to change frequencies. This handoff switches your phone to the new cell. As you travel, the signal is passed from cell to cell. Let me reset timers. If the SID on the control channel does not match the SID programmed into your phone, then the phone knows it is roaming. The MTSO of the cell that you are roaming in can contact the MTSO of your home system, which then checks its database to confirm that the SID of the phone you are using is valid. Your home system verifies your phone to the local MTSO, which then tracks your phone as you move through its cells. And the amazing thing is that all of this happens within seconds. If we compare cell phones and CBs, a good way to understand the sophistication of a cell phone is to compare it to a CB radio or walkie-talkie. Simplex versus duplex. Both walkie-talkies and CB radios are similar devices. That is, two people commuting on a CB radio use the same frequency, so only one person can talk at a time. A cell phone is a duplex device. That means that you are using one frequency for talking and a second separate frequency for listening. Both people on the call can talk at once. As far as channels are concerned, a walkie-talkie typically has one channel and a CB radio has 40 channels. A typical cell phone can communicate on 1,664 channels or more. Range, a walkie-talkie can transmit about 1 mile, which is about 1.6 kilometers, using a 0.25 watt transmitter. A CB radio, because it has much higher power, can transmit about 5 miles, which is 8 kilometers, using a 5 watt transmitter. Cell phones operate within cells, and they can switch cells as they move around. Cells give cell phones incredible range. Someone using a cell phone can drive hundreds of miles and maintain a conversation the entire time because of the cellular approach. Okay, having said that, let's look for check-ins. This is W4RFJ with the South Cars, Thursday Information Net. Anybody with a question, comment, or just want to check in, now's the time. Okay, I'm not hearing anybody checking in. I know everybody's fighting to get in the door. This is W4RFJ. Any questions or check-ins, please call now, W4RFJ. Okay, without further ado, let's pass it on to our good friend, the alien life form, KE5ALF. Greg, are you available? It's your turn. This is W4RFJ with the South Cars, Thursday Information Net.
Well, thank you very much. Good evening. This is Greg, KE5ALF, and allow me to continue. First, let's talk about the inside of a cell phone. On a complexity per cubic inch scale, cell phones are some of the most intricate devices people play with on a daily basis. Modern digital cell phones can process millions of calculations per second in order to compress and decompress the voice stream. If you take a cell phone apart, you find that it contains just a few individual parts. An amazing circuit board containing the brains of the phone, an antenna, a liquid crystal display, also known as the LCD, a keyboard, not unlike the one you find in a TV remote control, a microphone, a speaker, and a battery. Let's talk about what some of the individual chips do. The analog to digital and digital to analog conversion chips translate the outgoing audio signal from analog to digital and the incoming signal from digital back to analog. The digital signal processor, DSP often, is a highly customized processor designed to perform signal manipulation circuits at a high speed. The microprocessor handles all the housekeeping chores for the keyboard and displays deals with command and control signaling with the base station and also coordinates the rest of the functions on the board. The ROM and flash memory chips provide storage for the phone's operating system and customizable features such as phone directory. The radio frequency RF and power section handles power management and recharging, also deals with the hundreds of FM channels. Finally, the RF amplifiers handle signals traveling through and from the antenna. Let me reset here real quick. The display has grown considerably in size as the number of features in cell phones have increased. Most current phones offer built-in phone directories, calculators, and even games. And many of the phones incorporate some type of PDA or web browser. Some phones store certain information, such as SID and MIN codes, an internal flash memory, which others use external cards that are similar to smart media cards. Cell phones have such tiny speakers and microphones that it's incredible how well most of them reproduce sound. The speaker is about the size of a dime, and the microphone is no larger than the watch battery inside of it. Speaking of the watch battery, this is used by the cell phone's internal clock chip. What is amazing is that all of this functionality, which only 30 years ago would have filled an entire floor of an office building, now fits inside a package that sits comfortably in the palm of your hand. Let me reset real quick. Now let's talk about amps. In 1983, the analog cell phone standard called AMPS, which means Advanced Mobile Phone System, was approved by the FCC and first used in Chicago. Amps use a range of frequencies between 824 megahertz and 894 megahertz for analog cell phones. In order to encourage competition and keep prices low in the United States, the government required the presence of two carriers in every market, known as A and B carriers. One of the carriers was normally the local exchange carrier, LEC for short, a fancy way of saying the local phone company. Carriers A and B are each assigned 832 frequencies, 790 for voice and 42 for data. A pair of frequencies, one for transmit and one for receive, is used to create one channel. The frequencies used in analog voice channels are typically 30 kilohertz wide. 30 kilohertz was chosen as the standard size because it gives you voice quality comparable to a wired telephone. The transmit and receive frequencies of each voice channel are separated by 45 megahertz to keep them from interfering with each other. Each carrier has 395 voice channels as well as 21 data channels to use for housekeeping activities like registration and paging. A version of AMPS known as Narrowband Advanced Mobile Phone Service, NAMPS for short, incorporates some digital technology to allow the system to carry about three times as many calls as the original version. Even though it uses digital technology, it is still considered analog. AMPS and NAMPS only operate in the 800 megahertz band and do not offer many of the features common in digital cellular service, such as email and web browsing. Okay, at this time I'm going to ask if there's any check-ins or comments before I pass it on to the next narrator. Okay, seeing none, this is KE5AOF, and I'm going to turn it over to KO4UMQ, Woody. It's your turn, sir. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, Greg, and good evening, everyone. This is Woody, KO4UMQ. So along comes digital. Digital cell phones use the same radio technology as analog phones, but they use it in a different way. Analog systems do not fully utilize the signal between the phone and the cellular network. Analog signals cannot be compressed and manipulated as easily as a true digital signal. This is the reason why many cable companies are switching to digital, so they can fit more channels within a given bandwidth. It is amazing how much more efficient digital systems can be. Digital phones convert your voice into binary information, ones and zeros, and then compress it. This compression allows between 3 and 10 digital cell phone calls to occupy the space at a single analog call. Many digital cellular systems rely on frequency shift keying, or FSK, to send data back and forth over AMPS. FSK uses two frequencies, one for ones and the other for zeros. Alternately, rapidly between the two to send digital information between the cell tower and the phone. Clever modulation and encoding schemes are required to convert the analog information to digital, compress it, and convert it back again while maintaining an acceptable level of voice quality. All of this means that the digital cell phones have to contain a lot of processing power. Let me reset. Cellular access technologies. There are three common technologies used by cell phone networks for transmitting information. One, frequency division multiple access, or FDMA, and then time division multiple access, or TDMA, and code division multiple access, CDMA. Although these technologies sound very intimidating, they can get a good sense of how they work just by breaking down the title of each one. The first word means means you what the access method is. Or excuse me, the first word tells you what the access method is. The second word, or division, lets you know that it splits calls based on the access method. So an FDMA puts each call on a separate frequency. TDMA assigns each call a certain portion of time on a designated frequency, and CDMA gives a unique code to each call and spreads it over the available frequencies. The last part of each name is multiple access. This simply means that more than one user can utilize each cell. Let me reset. So DMA separates the spectrum into distinct voice channels by splitting it into uniform chunks of bandwidth. To better understand FDMA, think of radio stations. Each station sends its signal at a different frequency within the available band. FDMA is used mainly for analog transmission. While it is certainly capable of carrying digital information, FDMA is not considered to be an efficient method for digital transmission. TDMA is the access method used by the Electronics Industry Alliance and the Telecommunications Industry Association for Interim Standard 54, or IS-54, and Interim Standard 136, also called IS-136. Using TDMA, a narrow band that is 30 kilohertz wide and 6.7 milliseconds long is split time-wise into three time slots. Let me reset. Narrow band means channels in the traditional sense. Each conversation gets the radio for one-third of the time. This is possible because voice data that has been converted to digital information is compressed so that it takes up significantly less transmission space. Therefore, TDMA has three times the capacity of an analog system using the same number of channels. TDMA systems operate in either the 800 MHz, that's IS-54, or 1900 MHz, the IS-136 frequency bands. TDMA is also used as the access technology for Global System for Mobile Communications, or GSM. However, GSM implements TDMA in a somewhat different and incompatible way from IS-136. Think of GSM and IS-136 as two different operating systems that work on the same processor, like Windows and Linux, both working on an Intel Pentium 3. GSM systems use encryption to make phone calls more secure. GSM operates in the 900 MHz range and the 800 MHz bands in Europe and Asia, and in the 1900 MHz, sometimes referred to as the 1.9 GHz band in the United States. It is used in digital cellular and PCS-based systems. GSM is also the basis of Integrated Digital Enhanced Network, or IDEN, and a popular system introduced by Motorola and used by Nextel. So before I pass it on to the next narrator, I'll ask for any check-ins. Are there any check-ins right now that would like to check in? Please call now. Well, having heard no further check-ins, I'm going to go ahead and pass it on to KB9EWG. Dave, the mic is yours, sir.
Well, thank you, Woody, and good evening to you and everybody else on South Cars. KB9EWG, Echo 2289. Okay, we will be concluding tonight's program, and I've got the caboose this evening, so so tonight's program with my section here, allow me to start highlighting some of the key comments from this evening's program. One, the cell phone was first introduced in April of 1973. Two, estimated gross value of the cell business in 2022 was $485 billion with a B. Three, the cell phone is really a radio, but one that comes with many features. It does not make your morning coffee yet, but I am sure that's coming too. the cell system uses two separate frequencies simultaneously. This is to support duplex operation. Five, the cell towers are normally placed in 10 square mile parcels, meaning there could be many towers for large cities. Six, the FCC issues 832 frequencies to the carrier, which 42 are used for control of the system. All phones use special codes or to ID the phone, the user, and the service name. Seven, the MTSO, Mobile Telephone Switching Office, keeps track of your location, and if you're roaming, will switch you to best tower location for your continued service. This all happens in a matter of seconds. Let me reset here. Okay, continuing on. Eight. The phone system uses three modes to process your call. They are FDMA, TDMA, and CDMA. These were discussed in full during the program. To change the subject for a moment, we want to make sure that there are members and listeners understand that we are more than open to hearing from you. If you feel that there is a specific topic you would like to have on run on these nets on the TIN sessions here, please drop us an email to voip@scarsvoip.com. As we would more than pleased to discuss it with you. With that said, do you have any other further check-ins or any comments or any questions for us next this evening? This is KB9EWG.
KE5ALF.
Our alien friender. Hey, Greg, how you doing this evening? Go ahead.
I'm doing very well, Dave. I found an interesting thing that I didn't know, that in 2020, the federal government mandated that all new cell phones would have non-removable batteries. The reason behind that is that, which we just went through a week or so ago, that emergency broadcast that they do, that was so that there was no way that you could turn your phone off. Even if your phone actually was off, that broadcast would still come through. And they're doing that as a to make sure that everybody gets informed if there's any kind of a national emergency or anything going on. I thought that was interesting. I didn't know that. I was always wondering why all of a sudden batteries were non-removable in their phones. KE5ALF, back to you, sir.
Well, that's an interesting piece of trivia. Thank you for mentioning that. Yeah, that is a good reason for the batteries to be not removable. And, yeah, Robert, VK2DY, got your comment there that yeah, you can pay for your morning coffee with it as well. And we all got to have that caffeine burst there. So good comment there, Robert. And, Alf, thank you so much for that comment as well. Happy to hear that. And, yeah, that makes sense, why the batteries are not removable on cell phones. I remember my first cell phone, I had one of the Motorola bank phones, and it was powered by a battery that was basically using portable video recorders back then, or camcorders and such there. So it was a Motorola bank phone was my first cell phone. Any other questions or comments or anything else for the net this evening? This is KB9EWG. Victor Alpha 3, Romeo Charlie India. Go ahead there. Good evening to you, sir.
Not sure if it's Charlie India. This is Victor Alpha 3, Radio Tango Delta. Over.
Okay, Romeo Tango Delta. Okay. RTD, go ahead there, please.
Yes, sir. Good evening to you. Good evening to all others on the net. I just came to the car and overheard a conversation. The name here is Omar, Oscar Michael Perumio. And I think the gentleman just said mentioned something as to why the cell phones have non-removable batteries now. Could you repeat why that is over?
Okay, just recently they had an emergency broadcast test on the cell network there, and as well as other radio networks and everything else. And during that test, you know, all the cell phones were activated with the emergency network. And as Greg, KE5ALF, was explaining, the reason why is even if the cell phone is powered down, that broadcast can be heard on the cell phones. It would activate the phone there. So that's the reason why that cell phones no longer have removable batteries. Does that make any sense to you there?
Okay. I'm going to try and process that. I guess there's some sense to it. Over.
You are a little bit noisy on that transmission here. Can you try that again, please?
I'm sorry. It's just the location that I'm traveling now. I'm actually moving. So I said I'm going to process that information and see. It sounds interesting. Over.
Yeah, basically, so they make an emergency broadcast, whether your phone is powered on or not, since the battery cannot be removed, you know, as long as the battery's got charged to it, it should receive that emergency broadcast. And that's what Greg was explaining is the reason for the batteries to be not removable. Go ahead. Well, Omar, I'm afraid you actually dropped off the network there. You were not copyable that last transmission at all there. You want to try again? Great. Otherwise, I'll stand by for anybody else who has any questions or comments before I secure the net here. This is KE9EWG.
KE5ALF.
Yes, sir. Alf, go ahead.
You know, I was just wondering about that, the same thing with the batteries. I wonder how that works for all the kids that are sitting in school with their phones in their pockets. Even if their phones are turned off, all of a sudden you're sitting in class and here comes this emergency broadcast. I wonder how that turned out. You know what I mean? Back to you, Dave.
I would imagine it probably disrupted class a little bit. I know I was in the middle of a testing session when the that went off and I wanted to mute myself because, you know, the phone making all that noise there, so. I do remember the test the other day, and like I said, I was actually in the middle of testing when it went off, and I wound up having to mute myself on Zoom to keep the noise from going over. Anything else for you there, Alf?
No, sir. I'm clear. Back to you.
Well, thank you, and some good points you made about, that's like I said, that's something I just learned. I was not aware of that's why the batteries are not removable because of that emergency system there. That does make a lot of sense, and thank you for bringing that up. So I guess the only way you would not get that transmission if your battery is dead. Okay, this is KE9EWG Net Control, one of the net controls for this evening, for this TIN. And is there any other questions, comments, or anything else before I wrap up the net here?
K2HA.
K2DY.
Fred, good evening. Go ahead.
Yeah, there was another person after me. Just a question. This is Fred, K2HA, KB9EWG. Since the government has the protocol to be able to turn the cell phone on and actually make it talk, I'm assuming that protocol might be out there in other people's hands. So that protocol could be used to turn on a cell phone and listen to what is going on in where the person is and hear everything. That's what it sounds like. Over to you, Dave. This is Fred, K2HA.
Well, that is a definite concern and privacy issue there. And yeah, I believe the technology has already, you know, is already there, that somebody could activate and listen to your phone without your knowledge. Or the webcam on your computer at home, the microphone on your computer. You know, if somebody installs a virus or something on your system as well there, Fred, you know, there could be something that they could install. And like I said, activate your webcam and your microphone without you even knowing about it. So that is a concern, you know. And the more technology advances, I guess the less privacy we can expect there. Does that make sense there, Fred? Go ahead.
Yeah, Dave, that does make sense. However, I'm sure that, like in ham radio, there are a lot of programmers. And I'm sure there's somebody that could come up with a blocking program that could notify you if somebody's listening. So now, I am not a programmer, but I know we have some people that check into the ScarsNet that is. And so just a thought. I'm going to start looking around to see if there is something out there already. Okay, thank you, Dave. And I think there was somebody else trying to get in. This is Fred, K2HA.
Also, if I don't know if you noticed the comments that Robert made, he says, the emergency control is in the carrier data. Once you activate a phone on a non-USA carrier, that support is gone. That's a good point there, Robert. Thank you. But, yeah. So, as Robert said, it's in the carry data. I mean, I'm definitely no expert on this topic here, but something to think about. Good point there, Fred. Thank you. And was there another station trying to get in there that Fred might have thought that might be there? Any other questions, comments, or anything else for the net this evening, KB9EWG? Okay, I'll put up one last call before I tie the ribbons on this here. Anybody with questions, comments, or anything else for the net? Otherwise, I'm going to secure the net here. This is KB9EWG. Okay, nothing else heard. First of all, I want to say all the presenters, great job on the presentation tonight. Good and interesting topic. Thank you so much for your participation to all the other presenters. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation tonight. This has been SCARS, the OIP. That's scheduled and general information can be found on the website, scarsvoip.com, as scarsvoip.com. This is KB9EWG saying 73. Closing this OIP session and thanking you for your participation, comments, and everything else. This net is now closed and turning the service back to normal amateur use. This is KB9EWG 73, and good evening.